Welcome to episode 151 of Ring Talk, Goodwin Boxing's weekly show. Now weekly again, we've sort of half committed to it. We'll make it as weekly as possible. With myself, Martin Theobald, and the main man himself, Steve Goodwin. How are you, Steve?
I'm good, my friend. Looking forward to Sheffield this weekend. So it's all been good, and we've been busy building the December 2nd card, for which we've released three fights, but we're going to release a lot more over the next two or three weeks. We think we're going to better the last Boxmania, so we've got some great fights I'm working on.
Well, you just told me, I won't give any of the fights away, but you told me there might be 8-10 rounders, which implies 8 title fights, potentially. Yeah. And even if a couple of those drop off, you're still looking at maybe 6.
In fact, as I look at it today, now, I've potentially got 9 title fights on that card. Now, they won't all come off, but we're going to end up, but potentially up to 9 title fights.
And you're only allowed 10 fights on there, aren't you?
Yeah. And we've got two undercard fights lined up. So you'll probably have to let one of the go. Yeah. So it's an amazing fights on here. And I'm not joking. When we go through them, every one of them, every single title fight I'm looking at here has potential. You don't know who's going to win any of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. December 2nd, York Hall, next Boxmania. What are the fights you can talk about on here at the moment? The one just to whet the appetite.
I can talk about 4 fights that we've released. So, Lauren Parker for the European super flyweight title against Jaspina De Stefano, which is a great fight. So that's great. Peter Murga against Ramez Mahmoud for the Commonwealth silver super bantamweight title.
That's a cracking fight because Ramez needs that win, doesn't he? He's desperate for that win. Peter Murga, he's had opportunities. He's sort of been around that southern area and sort of progressed onwards. That's a cracking fight.
And we've got Adrian Redman challenging Al William Weber, which is a final eliminator for the English super middleweight title, which is a cracker. And Yusuf Kamari is also boxing on there as well. We've announced that, but haven't decided just as yet what we're going to be doing. There's a possibility of him being in a title fight, but if not, he'll be in a 6-rounder. And so they what we announced, but that's what we've announced. We announced 4 fights, and over the next few weeks, once the board meet next week, both at area level and the main board, there'll be some more fights hopefully to be announced.
Either way, Yusef's coming home December 2nd on a Goodwin show. And you know what? I'm getting to that point now. I've had a period of like malaise, sort of lost, not interest, but the interest has dipped. But I know when my interest is rising again because I start reading the board notices and checking for the board notices on their website. That's when I know that I'm starting to get the appetite back for it again. I think your shows are doing it, Steve.
Well, you know what? I genuinely think, I mean this, I think the Boxmania thing has genuinely lifted my enthusiasm back. And when you think about them, if you've got that once every 3 months and I'm going to build these phenomenal shows every 3 months, it really gets you back in the thing for it. And you accept the others a baby show. But if you can do this one, everybody associated is really excited about the next one after the last one. So it makes an event, doesn't it, every 3 months. And that's what I'm aiming to do. One big event every 3 months.
It does. And those other ones you're talking about being baby shows, they might be baby shows, but they're opportunities for everybody on them to earn a slot on one of the big shows that only happen every once every 3 months. You've got to fight for it. You've got to be in interesting fights and earn that opportunity.
Exactly.
It creates its own little mini ecosystem. I love it.
Yeah, this is the new way. And we're signing lots of new boxers all the time at the moment. We're really busy signing. So we just got to keep, again, we haven't released a lot of these, but just keep going. But some fighters who have come, got some interesting fighters who were around a couple of years ago, who are now coming back under our management, who were just around about title level when they stopped. So they're going to be back in titles pretty quickly. So some exciting stuff coming. Some really exciting stuff coming.
So we'll drip feed those fights through over the next few weeks. Just as a little taster, a little appetizer. I saw you were out for lunch with Denis Denekachev.
Yeah. And I mean, I like to always when my fighters win a title, take them out for lunch for a bit of food, and we do that. I've got to do it with Andy Gill, Yasser Al-Gainer, and Lewis Frimpong, and I've got to sort something out with Brad. But yeah, so Dennis, we're going to have something big to announce for Dennis, hopefully end of next week, and that will be also on December the 2nd. So, yeah, it's great. There's some great fights. I mean, December the 2nd, and I really mean this, 1,000,000%, there'll be no tickets on the door. I'm telling you now, it will be sold out prior to the night. So anybody that wants tickets for that show, I swear you will not be getting them on the door. It will sell out early. So, yeah, it's just make sure you get your tickets in advance.
And I talked to so many people, some near, some far, that haven't been to York Hall before. Go to York Hall, December the 2nd, because it'll be better than any of the televised York Hall shows that are going to be on between now and December the 2nd, or have been on recently. This show will be better than any of them in terms of the fights that are put on. I know some of them, I don't know all of them, but the ones that I know already make it a better show.
Yeah. And it's the bigger ones to come as well. So it's great. It's great.
Yeah. If you're ever going to go to York Hall, go on December the 2nd.
100%. 100%. This is the one.
Right. Anyway, that's a long time. We'll drip feed more and more fights sort of as they're confirmed as we get closer to the date. But there's a big weekend for Goodwin Boxing going on this weekend up in Sheffield. A man who not only is an outstanding boxer, he's an outstanding person. I just love him to bits. Linus Udofia.
This is it. I don't think I've ever been as excited, as nervous, as whatever it may be for a fight. This is Linus's time to shine. The bookmakers obviously agree with me. I don't know if you've seen the change in the odds in the bookies.
I looked the other day, they were both 10 to 11.
That's all gone. Linus Udofia was 6-5 2 weeks ago outside. Kieran Conway was odds on. Linus has now gone into odds on between 5-6, 8-11. Kieran Conway, you can get 5-4 now against. Money has been one-way traffic, all for Linus Udofia. And I think it should be, because I think he's a worthy favourite. And I think this is his time to shine. I think it's his time to go on there and show what he's made of. And with the British title being contested between Denzel Bentley now and Nathan Heaney, with Hamza Shiraz moved over, to me, with all due respect to Nathan Heaney, and I really like him as a fighter and as a person, it appears to me that Frank Warren's people are cashing out on their ticket seller. And so obviously his ticket sold quite a bit. Now they're going to throw him in. Denzel probably wins. I can't see Denzel wanting to fight Linus again for a British title. So he'll give us a free run at the British title once we beat Kieran Conway. So it's exciting. It's exciting. We just got to win this weekend.
Yeah, I think Denzel wins that. And by the way, that Frank Warren show, that Magnificent Seven show, I think that's a brilliant card that he's put together there. Absolutely brilliant.
This is what boxing needs. The Frank Warren, it's a proper night of boxing. And I criticise TV shows, we do, right?
Yeah.
But we're not criticising everybody, we criticise it because they deserve to be criticised. But that's what boxing needs, shows like the Frank Warren is putting on there, for sure.
Yeah, that Frank Warren show this Friday night at York Hall, I haven't got a clue why on earth any broadcaster is touching that. It's utter garbage. However, that Magnificent Seven show that he's putting on, I think, is brilliant.
I agree.
And it's only fair to give sort of a balanced view on both.
I agree.
I think Denzel Bentley, I think, walks through Nathan Heaney.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see what they do with Hamza Shiraz, and because Shiraz was meant to be fighting Bentley for the British,
almost pulled out. So, yeah.
So do they try and then reposition him? My assumption would be that sort of Bentley would relinquish the title after presumably beating Heaney.
Yeah.
Does he then give the title up, and do they try and move Shiraz back into that position? I don't know.
No.
But either way, whatever they do, they're going to have to fight my man Linus, because I've never been so nervous and so confident at the same time.
I'm the same as you.
Yeah, like I think he does a number on Conway. But yeah, like I'll be watching through there.
Yeah, I'll be the same. It's gonna, but like, I'm really confident. Really confident. I think he's gonna show what he's made of. I think the Denzel Bentley fight will make him. I think he'll never make the same mistake twice. And I think that experience of that Denzel Bentley fight, he hasn't got the miles on the clock Conway's had. Conway, to me, is a matchroom fighter that they haven't really bothered to build. They've not really been that bothered about, and they've put him in all hard fights away from home. And so I just think that Kieran Conway, and I think he's a good fighter. I'm not going to. Yeah. I think he's a good fighter. I just think Linus is better, and I think I think we're going to see that. But I hope I'm right. Let's hope I'm right.
Yeah, it feels like with Conway, they've kind of used him as a development talent for other people within Matchroom, and sort of put him in. He fought over in America, and he's never been their priority, I think it's probably fair to say. It's not to say that he's a bad fighter whatsoever. I think he's a very good fighter. I just think, and more than anything, hope that Linus is a better fighter on Saturday night. And shows his worth. But what an opportunity. Have you spoken with him this week? Is he?
He's been down to the office today. Popped in to see us today just before Dennis. Well, Dennis, they met up because Linus was in just as Dennis turned up. So, yeah, we saw him today, and then we'll be up with him this week. Thursday, we'll be up with him in Sheffield.
I was going to say, how's he looking? But I know how he's looking. He's looking
right. He looks in fantastic shape. He's not hungry. He's in a good frame of mind. Look, he's there. He's ready to go.
I have to stop my wife looking at photos of him because it makes me jealous, frankly.
He's in fantastic shape, and he's making the weight comfortably. So I think it's going to be there's no excuses here. He's in great shape. He's in as good condition as ever. So just got to keep our fingers crossed now.
Good. And those experiences you say about, you know, the Darren Cardona fight that he had, he didn't make the weight properly for that. Maybe he made it properly, but on the day he was sort of touch and go on the scales, and he had to go away and re-weigh and come back. So again, those experiences, I'm sure the Bentley fight, they all build up to making him a better fighter and a better prepared fighter.
Hmm.
I just hope we see the culmination of it all on Saturday. I think it's...
I think he knows this is important because a loss sets him back a million miles. A win opens every door in the world.
Yeah, yeah. Just on the undercard of a world title fight is phenomenal. I said earlier, like, not just as a fighter, but as a person, Linus is just an outstanding individual. Like, takes time out for people. Sat with my son down at the last Boxmania show and spoke with him through the Yasser Elgainer fight, sort of talked him through the tactics of what was going on, all these things. Like, he's such a good person that
the thing is, he's got to win because the week after I'm in Prague with him because we're at Kieran's stag do. So I'm hoping that I said to him, you know, one weekend we're in Sheffield, the next weekend I'm with him in Prague. So yeah, so we've got a couple of weekends with him, and you know, I'm obviously in Prague. I'm expecting him to be there as had a phenomenal weekend this weekend.
And isn't this for the IBF?
For the WBA Intercontinental, so I'll give him a little world ranking as well. So,
yeah, get him a belt as well. That's a nice little sort of, you know, I don't particularly like these belts, I've got to be honest, but you know, if it gives him a little confidence boost, then all right, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, just gotta, but yeah, and then after this fight, we'll see where we go. Let's get this fight out of the way first, and then we've got some exciting things to talk to people about and negotiate. So, it's great,
yeah. Brilliant, brilliant. Linus, Saturday night. Everybody tune in. DAZN. However you want to get it. I don't really know. But yeah, via the app, via whatever means you need, watch Linus. Go out, do the business against Kieran Conway Saturday night up in Sheffield. Should we talk about that card before we come on to what was the boxing of last weekend? So I've got the card in front of me. I'm not going to go through all of it because there's certain ones that I don't really care much about, to be honest. But Nico Levers against Ryan Walker is an interesting one. How do you see that going?
I fancy Levers to win. I think Ryan is on the downslide. By the way, I like Ryan Walker as a person, as a human being. He's a lovely kid. And I hope he wins. I want him to win, but I don't think he will. I think He fought Peter Murger last time. He was dropped heavily in the first. And I just felt when I made the fight again, I felt that Ryan was sliding. And nothing in the fight. I think Peter Murger's improved from their first fight, but I think Ryan's not as good as he was. And but I'd like to see him prove me wrong.
I'd love to see it. I just think it's a mishandling when he's gone through Lee McGregor, Paul Butler. Those aren't fights that Ryan should have been taking, in my view. He should never have been anywhere near those fighters. They're levels above him. With all respect to Ryan, because like you, I think he's a lovely bloke, but he shouldn't have been in those fights. Let's skip over some. Terry Harper, Cecilia Breakhouse. Seems to have gone under the radar that a little bit.
No, it's a bad fight. I think it's a good little... Again, I think this weekend is... Well, I think Terry Harper wins, but I think it's a competitive fight. It's not... She wins, but it's not so... It's not a 10-on chance. It's not one of these absolute stone certainties. I think it's a really good fight. I think the card's really been put together. I think Matchroom have done a good job with this card.
No, I agree. Again, we were saying earlier about sort of happily criticise what's gone on, but we'll also praise what's going on. Breakers, she's only ever lost to McCaskill, hasn't she, I think, twice. Mm-hmm. Terry Harper's sort of suffered the loss to Baumgartner, which, let's be honest, you've now got to put a question mark over. I like it. I think it's a very good fight. Cameron Wong's on it, who I keep hearing very good things about, but I've never seen, so that'd be
good amateur.
Yeah, I've heard sort of outstanding things about him, but some of that's from Sam Jones, who Sam Jones, love him to bits, talks up any prospect that he's got on his books, which is kind of his job, so good on him. And then the main event, Lee Wood, Josh Warrington. Yeah. I see a lot of people ruling out Josh Warrington. The odds sort of rule out Josh Warrington. I don't know. I give him a chance.
I don't think... Look, you've got to favour Lee Wood, haven't you? But it just depends how much he's got left. The best Josh Warrington of the would be probably slight favourite to beat Lee Wood, I think. But it's not... I don't think it's the best Josh Warrington anymore. I think it's how much he's got left. And he's definitely not at his best now, is he? So I'd probably side with Lee Wood, but not with total conviction. If Josh Warren can roll back a couple of years, it'll be a great fight.
Yeah, and I think what other fight to get you up for if you're Josh Warrington? If you can roll out the version that fought Frampton, I think you'd give Lee Wood hell. Just that work rate and sort of sitting on the chest and just coming forward, I don't think that would favour Lee Wood at all. Whether we can see that or not, whether that little Mexican nutcase has taken it out of him, I don't know. We'll see Saturday night. But overall...
Good fight.
And it's that sort of getting that balance of a world title fight that means something at the top, sort of a very good domestic fight in Udofia Conway, a world title fight in the women's division, sort of that balance, few debuts, few young fighters coming through. I like that as a balance of a card. I think that works for me.
Yeah, I agree. So full credit to that card. It's a decent card. I'm not saying it's outstanding. It's not like Frank Warren's Super 7, but it's a good, good, solid card and well worthy of a TV network picking it up, unlike Friday's one, which is pretty
good. Well, let's come on to Friday. I'm not going to pick up my phone at all because off the top of my head, I know Ellis Zorro is fighting on it. And I looked through it earlier and I can't remember anyone else.
I did look at it as well. Yeah, but I'm the same.
I don't understand what's in it for TNT Sports to be broadcasting that. I don't understand what's in it. I know it's a development show. You talk about your own shows as sort of development shows. Sort of, there are levels to where promoters put things on. I don't understand why this gets televised.
Neither do I. I don't get it. It's not... If I was at home, I wouldn't even bother standing to watch it.
No, it's not even sort of next-gen levels, but there we go. Friday night, York Hall, you've got nothing better to do. Go along.
I don't know, you can watch... is it Big Brother started? That's probably something... It's probably better to watch that. It's probably more entertaining. Yeah. I think it's pretty... I'm not at home. I'm in Sheffield, but I'm pretty sure if I was at home on Friday, I'd probably sit with the telly and watch. We're watching something called The Split, a BBC's drama series. I'd rather watch that.
I am at home Friday night. I might paint a wall and watch it dry or something. It seems a relatively decent alternative. Let's go back to last weekend then. Round this up. There was... Oh, my camera's gone dodgy. Why is it gone? It always does this. I think that's the... it's the TV networks. After I criticise them. The DAZN show last... Now, I've got to confess, I was away all weekend. I haven't watched a minute of anything.
I've watched everything.
Any good?
The Joy Opetai-Thompson fight was pretty much a mismatch, as you would expect. I mean, Jordan Thompson wasn't in that league. Opetai was, I thought, was very, very good. Opetai, very good to watch. But it was the one, an absolute beatdown. Chevron Clark, just a bit too, you know, just too classy. Ellie Scotney, quality. But I'd like to see her fight somebody who's got a chance of beating her. Because at the moment, she's just fighting people that are struggling to win a round off her. She's very good. But until she fights somebody, they're not good. They're not good fights if you just, these sort of fights, when it's, they're going to win every round. We know she's talented. We think Ellie's great. But I don't think her personality, I don't think she's been got out in front of the cameras enough. I don't think people know who she is. I don't feel there's enough around her because she's got a great personality. She could be a great face for, you know, a great part for women's boxing, but she's not promoted well enough. And she's not in a fight that means anything. And I know she's world champion, but she's not fighting anybody that's going to show how good she really is.
So, I love Ellie to bits. I think she's underpromoted. In that I don't know who else is sort of in her weight division, who the champions are. That's on me, I get that. But like, normally what you tend to get is they're talking up the next couple of fights ahead against who those other fights are going to be when they get through these sort of defences of, I don't know if that's a mandatory or voluntary, to be honest. But we haven't had that. We haven't had that sort of selling of the vision of the future of Ellie Scotney. And I think that sort of hinders her a little bit. I was listening to my friend Terry's podcast this week, and he said the thing you miss most on an Ellie Scotney fight night is the Ellie Scotney tweets. He's saying, you know, when other fight shows are on, you sit and look at her tweets, and they're brilliant. She's got that brilliant sort of dry personality taking the mick out of what's on TV. Again, I'd like to see that personality given an opportunity to shine, an opportunity to sort of get out there, because I think she is brilliant in and out of the ring, and she could really shine.
Clark won every round. It was just, it was all right. It was okay. That bit was okay.
Over on Sky?
Oh, come on. It's let's go through. I hate saying this, but the Matchroom card was just about okay. Just about. This wasn't. Sky Show was not. So we had the debut of Francesca Hennessy, right? And she fought a 1-8 girl, and she beat her up pretty much. And then you had a dad on telling us that she's the second coming of whatever's going to come, world champion, multiple unified world champion.
Shades of Ali. That was his words for Huey Fury. I want to see it now.
What a load of rubbish. I mean, what a load of rubbish. I mean, she's quite excited to watch for a female boxer, but to make silly claims after... Look, she's probably going to reach a certain level. She might, but she's no unified world champion. Let's put it that way. We had Steve McKenna fight Darren Tetley. McKenna fight Tetley, stopped. He stopped him. Tetley, that was okay, but it was one-sided beatdown. Then we had Jamie TKV, who hasn't been signed on ability. He's been signed on his... Whatever reason, but the first time he fought anybody who could fight back, which was a Mexican Brazilian who had 11 wins, 11 KOs against bin men, but had lost the fight to a decent Eastern European, but he just got beaten up every round. And then he got hit with a punch that split his eye, but he was losing anyway. I mean, with the fact that these TV companies are all saying that they've got too many fighters signed. I want to talk about that in a minute. Subject about signings and recruitment. I would talk about this about all, and this applies to all promoters, but he wasn't very good. Vito O'Reilly fighting Nathan Corliss. Vito O'Reilly was due to fight Jamie Smith, which would have been a real crackerjack fight, but Jamie Smith obviously retired from boxing, so they replaced him with Nathan Corliss, so that's not their fault. But that was just a one-sided beatdown, so he won every round. Callum Simpson, who's a potential future opponent for...
Zach Chelly.
Sorry, Zach Chelly. Really thought he looked... I thought he looked, to me, and I will say something, that, I mean, I know Sky think he's the next thing. No, he's open to, easy to hit, and he's never been hit back yet. I'll predict now, Zach Chelly will definitely beat Callum Simpson. Definitely beat Callum Simpson. That's my view. And I don't think it, I think Callum Simpson is far too hard to hit. He's got one way of fighting. When he doesn't get you out of there, I think he's vulnerable. I think Callum Simpson's got a level, but I think he's a good level, but he's not superstar level. And I think he's vulnerable to getting beat. So you've got hit, and then with all due respect, Caroline Dubois having a beatdown of somebody for eight or nine rounds. Look, the product isn't good enough. Six fights on Sky on a Saturday night. Not one fight. You go, great, that was great to watch. Not one. The most entertaining fight was the Jamie TKV getting beaten up by the Brazilian because the Brazilian was just throwing wild shots and just catching it. But it was really, the product was poor. And it made me think after Saturday, and I thought, and I do know that TV companies can only sign so many fighters, and I do know, but I put this down to recruitment. And as an Arsenal fan, they signed Nicolas Pepe for 72 million, right? To get rid of him for free. Well, I think these TV promoters need to look at whoever's responsible. Some of the recruitment is awful. They are signing boxers, and you think, what are you doing? What are they going to bring to the TV audience? What talent do they have? And I genuinely think there's some, and I don't want to name them personally, the ones that I think that, but generally I think, what are you doing as recruitment? Recruiting is key. Brighton recruit well, sell them on for a lot of money. They've got good recruiters. Whoever's making these decisions in a lot of these promotional groups of who to sign, and I'm including all promoters in this, but some to a lesser degree, it's depriving those fighters and those fights that should be on telly of not getting... Seriously, if you had put three of the top three Boxmania fights on that Sky show on Saturday, it would have been a 10 times better show than what they produced. Terrible. Yeah.
No, I agree. I think Matchroom are presently doing a very good job, from what I understand, of bringing in the next generation of fighters.
Mm-hmm.
So they're getting a lot of lads sort of coming out of, and ladies as well, coming out of the amateur system, presumably because there's a question mark over the next Olympic cycle. Mm-hmm. So rather than waiting around and taking their chances, they're just ducking out of that early and going into the pros.
Yes.
We're probably not going to see them in sort of meaningful TV fights for maybe another 2, 3, 4 years.
The problem you've got, though, Martin, is if you sign a load of them, you end up with dross now. You've got to have other fighters on. And if you sign too many of them, there's no budget left to promote proper fights.
Yeah. So I think it sort of, they all need, and this comes back to, I mean, look, they announced earlier Sauerland or Wasserman about Harlem Eubanks' next fight. Again, some bloke I've never heard of, some Eastern European. I'm like, what's the point? What is the point in a Channel 5 show headlined in Brighton on a Saturday or Friday night? Might be a DAZN one, I don't know at this point, because they've got that sort of dual deal. Headlined by Harlem Eubank fighting his, I don't know, 95th Eastern European that I've never heard of. Like, you've got that talent, Harlem Eubank. He's a good fighter. There's nothing against him particularly. But why is he not? Like, why? This is where my issue is. I always think the board should have a limited number of promotional licenses that they're able to offer out at the very top level for TV deals. then sort of maybe a secondary tier and a tertiary tier, whereby sort of, I don't know, you have three TV promoters tops, then you have sort of three bigger small horn and three smaller small horn, and you squeeze all the talent into stables that way, and then you actually make fights happen. Because at the moment, if you've got TNT Sports, Sky Sports, DAZN, Channel 5, like, it doesn't work. There aren't enough, in my view, there aren't enough good domestic fighters filling up these cards. And the only way you do that is you squeeze the license in.
But there were fights they turned down. It needs a shake up, and you know, I genuinely don't know who does what at which TV network, but you've got to look at that card on Saturday and think that's really not, is, you know, you can't have a Sky product. How many people down the pub go, got to get home, got to go and watch Caroline Dubois, she's top of the bill. Are you, no, nobody. Nobody.
No, I agree. And you go back to that DAZN show this forthcoming Saturday. What I said earlier is I like the makeup of that card. A meaningful world title fight. Sort of the fact that it, you know, maybe one of them is a little bit over the hill, but it's two Brits. That sort of brings something to it.
Okay.
With a female world title fight and a really good domestic fight sort of as the third fight. That means I know I can tune in if I'm at home at sort of 8:30, 9, and I'm going to see three decent fights through to 11:30.
There's another one as well. Hopi Price, Conor Coghill's good fight.
Yeah.
Two big fighters. There's four. They've got four fights on that are worth watching. Genuinely, four good fights.
Yeah, and they're all at different levels. Sort of, you know, male world title, female world title, sort of British level, and then those two prospects that are undefeated. So if I'm a TV viewer at home, I know I can switch on at 8:30, 9, and I'll be entertained through until 11:30.
Well,
that's all I want.
That's a proper TV card that we haven't had last week or Friday. So that's four TV cards we've had. We've had if you rate them in order, Matchroom this week is number one. Matchroom last week is number two. And then number three would probably be Sky, and then the Warren card would be the bottom of these four, which is on Friday. And the three and four are not very good. So the two cards that are producing the best value are both Matchroom cards. And that's as I see it. And, yeah, I just think you've got to improve. The product has to improve.
But in the forthcoming schedule, I'd say the best sort of upcoming domestic fight is that Bouazizi Aziz one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good fight.
Outstanding fight. So Sky get their credit back with that, in that it's, I'll be honest, I haven't really checked out the undercard too much yet, but I just, as a main event, that's outstanding.
That's a good out. So you just want to see them build a card underneath that's decent, don't you? And I think, we'll see. But yeah, I agree with that. And again, they'll get props for that one, but I'm just saying that I'm not going to be, I mean, I have to do business with all these promoters, but I'm not going to blow smoke up people's backside. I'm just going to say the truth. It's no different. I just feel that there needs to be a change in the way it's done. And there are too many, you know, as you say, the problem you've also got is too many, it's too thinly spread as well. And yeah, I think it's pretty naff at the moment. Pretty
too thinly spread, and they all work in their own isolated bubbles. So as you say, if some of them have come along, or even if Sky or DAZN picked up your Boxmania shows and put them on a platform, then actually that sort of takes away some of the criticism of those other sort of lesser shows. That Frank Warren Magnificent Seven card we're talking about, it's got one world title fight, which is the Hannah Rankin fight. And the other six are all sort of well-matched domestic fights. You know, some you could pick a winner, some you pick a loser, some you probably can't pick a winner. But it's sort of well-matched fights. That's what your shows are. Get those on TV.
I actually think Boxmania should be on TV. I'm not saying the other shows. I'm not. Boxmania should be on a TV network. Should be. But probably won't ever be. But it should be. And you know something else, though? And I'll just say this. If tomorrow, and we're not going to be, if I was Sky promo in charge of Sky tomorrow, right, and somebody said they wanted, they'd have wanted us to have been the promoters for Sky Sports. Do you know the first phone call I would have made? I'd have rung Eddie Hearn up and said, let's go and have a sit down and have a meet. Let's go and sit down and have a meal. Talk about, I'm not going to ever slate you off because I think you're a good promoter, right? Let's stop all this. I don't want any of this nonsense anymore. Let's sit down and find out how we can work together for the benefit of boxing and actually get dialogue where, rather than slating each other off on things, where you can sit down and go, no, we can have a proper discussion. I'm never going to slate you off. So don't, if you want to slate me off, you can, but you're never going to get me doing it. But let's sit down and work together for the good of boxing and the good of all our fighters. How hard is it? How hard is that?
Yeah, I think you'd always accept everybody's got their own interests at heart, but it doesn't mean you have to live in isolated worlds.
Exactly that.
Taking shots.
Exactly that. And that's how, I just don't get it. Don't understand why not. Because there are times when you want to make fights, don't pull people out of purse bids with 5 minutes to go. Oh. Don't do that to another promoter. It's stupid. If you don't want to do the fight, say to him, I'm not going to do this fight. Get on with it. Don't do this thing because you just antagonize each other all the time. And I'm sure there's things done both ways, but you just don't have to work that way. And it needs a change. And obviously, you know that, obviously it's the same with Frank Warren. They don't communicate with Eddie Hearn either. I think they're trying to do bits and bobs with Sky, but it depends on the characters involved at each promotional outfit. You need to have reasonable people that you can sit down and talk reasonably with. And as long as each promoter has got that, they should just sit down together.
Although you start to fear now that sort of it looks as if Warren has now built that relationship over to Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia brought in Joe Gallagher,
yeah,
who now seemingly doesn't get along with Hearn particularly well. They brought in Frank Warren for the Fury fight. If they're parking their tanks out in that Saudi Arabian sort of district, then that moves them further away from dealing with Hearn, you'd suspect, because they can go and sort of make their money over there and make their relationships over there, assuming there's a slightly longer-term goal than just the Fury fights out there.
Yeah, exactly. But that'll be interesting. But it does need... What I'm saying is, and I know Kev is our friend, and he's working at Sky, obviously, now, and hopefully he'll... He's an intelligent man, a very intelligent man. And I would never discuss this with him because it's not my business to discuss it with him. But hopefully he will be able to, he'll seal this. And I'm hoping that he's able to make some changes, positive changes over the time that he's there and help to, because he's, you know, he's, he would under, he would get this. He would understand this. So
he would. Yeah. He's a man sort of, he's very strategic thinking, but he's also got a lot of integrity, and I'm sure collaboration is sort of on his agenda, which hopefully it will be, and hopefully we'll see a benefit as
well. You'd never imagine if Kevin was involved, he wouldn't be on video insulting other promoters. He'd never do that. He'd never do it. It's just not. And neither, to be fair, does who works alongside John Wischhausen, a very, very good man. I mean, I don't know what the hierarchy is or what's set up there, but this is just nonsense. There's no need. Just no need. Just no need. And I'm sure that... Yeah, why not? I mean, it's even the same at small hall level. People say to me, who's the competition? There isn't any. It's, you're just trying to do the right things for fighters. Give them the opportunities, bring them through, give them a TV opportunity, try and get them to maximize their career. It's, you're not in competition with other promoters, you're in competition with trying to make sure your boxer can get every opportunity. And if it means work with other people, it's not a problem. It's just not a problem.
But I've often said this to people sort of that don't necessarily know you but know about boxing, and sort of if I have conversations about it, is that the reason I'd sort of always recommend yourselves, and like outside of friendships, the reason we have a friendship is because you're one of the very few decent people in boxing that doesn't do it for the money. You do it to sort of occupy yourself and give yourself sort of mind challenges. And you like guiding, and you like seeing the success of other people. It isn't to be in competition with them and them and them and them. It's to try and do the best for the people you've got under your guidance. And, you know, it's not money driven. It's driven by a desire to see people do well. And I think that's the difference.
And that's why it doesn't. That's why I don't feel like that. I don't feel like I'm in. I will pull people up if they do the wrong thing. 100% I will. Like cancelling shows, right? Pisses me off. Doesn't affect me because not my fighters on them, but it pisses me off for the sport and the boxers.
Yep.
If you can't suffer a loss, you shouldn't be promoting. If you can't stop, and you know, we can list the people that cancel shows and who does what. You can have a table of it all. But it really pisses me off.
All you've got to do is see you've got a show on at Tolworth Leisure Centre and you'll find out.
Well, they've only done one, though, haven't they? They've only cancelled one, haven't they? I don't think that's the worst. I think there's only one. But, but others, it's. I mean, there was. I think there's been, in the last month, there's been about 4 to 5 shows cancelled.
Yeah. Yeah, there have. And as you say, it's sort of, it's the boxers that suffer.
Yeah. But then.
And then, sort of longer term, it's not just that they lose that one fight opportunity, it's that they lose confidence from people that are buying tickets from them for their next fight and the next fight. And actually, sort of, that's the hardest part of being a boxer at that level, is building up the sort of constituency and the people that will buy stuff from you.
Yeah.
So losing that confidence is sort of almost career ending.
Yeah, I agree, and that's the thing. And if, look, you get some boxers that are their own worst enemies, they pull out with a week to go, and they shouldn't be pulling out of a week to go, and they've got no logical reason for doing it, and then they cause it upon themselves. But the promoter shouldn't, if that happens and they cause their own problems, that's down to them. But it shouldn't be the promoter that pulls it on them, never. But they do. And again, I think you've got to be prepared to, some of you, you know, and I, that's my pet hate. But apart from that, I'm happy. I mean, I had, from the Tolworth show over 2 shows, we put on 3 of the fights that got cancelled. We managed to get 3 on. We would have got a couple more on, but the board wouldn't allow us, believe it or not, to put more fights on. But we'd have held more boxers out, but we weren't allowed to. But it doesn't matter that it's that promoter or that person. My thing's to the boxers. If we can help those boxers out, then help them out. It doesn't matter, rival promoters, rival managers. If we can help them, we'll help them. And yeah. And that's how it should be. It's how it should be in boxing and in life. And so that's the thing. And I just don't understand why you have... Can't you listen to it? I mean, it's ridiculous. You've got Frank Warren permanently having a pop at Frank Smith. You've got Frank Smith and Eddie Earn having a pop at Ben Shalom. You've got Ben Shalom having a pop at Eddie Earn and Frank Smith. It's just stupid. There's no need for any of it. You're all grown men in the same industry. Just sit down, crash it out, and say, look, we're just going to try and just treat each other like a load of adults. I don't get it.
You know what? They're all ratings people, aren't they? They're all people that are looking to drive ratings. Do you know what? The one thing I reckon that would do more views than 90% of boxing is a sit down with those 3 promoters, filmed and put out on a channel.
I agree. And why shouldn't they do it? I just don't get it.
If they sat and thrashed it out, that would get huge numbers.
I mean, it shouldn't be about the promoters, really. It should be about the fighters. As we had a little discussion, and I put something on our group, and I'm not going to say any more than that before we come on, and I was horrified when I saw it. But, yeah, some promoters, it seems to be more about them than it is about the fighters, and it shouldn't be. But, you know, I think I just don't see why they just don't do it. And they're sorting out. It's just, you know, life. We're only here for a short time. We're all gonna pass away. We're gonna finish off doing something else. We're all gonna be. Why would you not just make things easier for everybody?
It's just agree. Anyway, right, that's enough of the downside. Back to the upside. Linus Yudofia wins Saturday night up in Sheffield, moves on to a British title, moves on from there.
I'll tell you, the Goodwin camp has got a few chances coming up of British titles over the next 6 months. Both Linus and Zach Shelley, I will be disappointed if I don't have 2 British champions within the next 6 to 9 months. I think they can both win British titles. So yeah. we could be booming there with British champions. I think they've both got great chance, and a European champion. So with Lauren. So I'm really hopeful of having a European and 2 more British champions, apart from the plethora of English southern areas and everything else that we get. So it's good. The future is bright and we're looking forward to it.
Real. And this is the point of harvesting now. All those sort of talents you've nurtured through, you go and start harvesting them into the title. Then you've got the next lot coming through.
Don't forget Yusuf Kamari, who I think is an unbelievable talent. And, you know, we've got some brilliant, brilliant talents coming through. I do want to give a special bit of praise to Yasser Elgaina, who I thought was fighter of the night the other night. And that's no disrespect to Brad or anybody else. I thought that he was a 6-1 underdog and he dismantled Alan Prosper, didn't he? So I do want to give that say that I thought that was amazing. I thought it was an amazing performance because he was a massive underdog. Brad beat Mitch. Brad was an odds-on favourite. Dennison Sajid, it was close, but he was considered by the bookmakers to be a no-hoper. So I think he deserves special credit for the other week.
Yeah, and I think you and I both said sort of round one at the end of it, sat thinking, shit, he's in for a tough night here. And then he made easy work of a very good fighter in Aaron Prosper from round two onwards. And he was exceptional, exceptional.
Yeah, so this, looking forward to his career building as well. But that's one thing, because we've got some very good super lightweights in our stable now. And a lot to look forward to in the super lightweight division.
Yeah, sure. And we'll be announcing some fights for at least one of them over the next few weeks, hopefully. So
hopefully two, I think. Two or three, with any luck. So
real.
A lot to be excited about.
Roll on Sheffield, Saturday night.
We'll be back next week, hopefully with very happy people after this weekend, with any luck.
Yeah, we'll be sat here glowing. If not, there won't be a ring talk next week, so we'll be sat commiserating. But best of luck to Linus. He's the one who'll go out there and do the work. He's put.
I think we'll do a Q&A next week, Martin. So we haven't done one for many, many, many months. So we'll stick a Q&A up for next week.
Brilliant. All right, excellent stuff. In the meantime, best of luck to Linus. He deserves it all on Saturday night.